Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to another week on the PGA Tour for the Houston Open. As we leave Texas, or leave Florida and head to Texas for a couple weeks before the first major of the year with the Masters. Last week was a kind of a weird week. Not a great one overall. Degala, who I never go to, boy, and he showed me, he reminded me why I don't ever go to him. But he is a very boom-bust guy at times. Did not have it at all. I think he was 7 over after round one. And between him and Hovland, that kind of hurt most of the week. I did have a really strong 4 of 6 that bubbled on the weekend. It had Fitz winning it, or Fitz was in it, so with him winning it, that helped. Svensson missed on the number. I saw it was going to be a low 6 of 6, so I was kind of hoping Svensson would get in there, and if the things go my way on the weekend, a good 5 of 6 would, you know, at least be able to min cash in some things and make a run up there. Probably not win, but, you know, make some money back on the week. Then when he missed right on the number, I knew that was – I didn't even think I had a chance, but that 4 of 6 just kept climbing and climbing. I think it had Brooks and JT and I can't remember who else that – all finished kind of up there. And with Fitz, once he kind of broke, you know, solo, when he got to the solo first and those positioning points kind of shifted, finished bubbling there, but, you know, not the best week when a couple of the key pieces miss in the Hovland and Thigala. Showdown was profitable on the week, had a couple top fives, did not get a ship for the first time in a month, I think. But we had some runners, some good week or some good runs at it. Still way up on the year on Showdown. So I have that out for round two, round three, round four. I haven't asked about round one. I really don't do a round one because it would pretty much be the people that I like for the tournament with the, unless there's a wave advantage or something I like, which I always mention either in the Final Thoughts article and sometimes on here as well. But I always have round two, round three, round four out. So we're, you know, this week, next week's Valero, and then the Masters. If you want to join us now, kind of get used to the site, check everything out, get in the Slack. You can use Masters for 30% off. That's off any package, includes a 7-day risk-free trial. You could do content only, which includes Slack, or the full site. We get you the PGA model builder, full site research, all the data, lineup generator, everything, plus all the NFL stuff in the fall. It's one price for all the sports. NFL, PGA, college football. So Masters gets you 30% off now through the Masters. Memorial Park, we are familiar with this. It is the 5th year for it. It's only the second time in the spring. And then it was in the fall swing prior to that. And then last year it was really wet. I think we even had lift, clean, and play several days. So I wouldn't be all in on the course history very much at all, because it's really, I mean, you have 3 years fall swing, which is completely different temperatures. The grass is different. And then you had last year, which was wet, way wetter than normal. And then this year, it's really dry, firm, fast. The wind looks to be up and down at times. I think it'll play much harder. So I think we'll be a lot closer to, you know, 12, 13 under. Then we will certainly not 20 under like last year. 2 years ago, you know, Jaeger won it at minus 12, but I want to say that was in the fall swing as well. But I think we, you know, that low teens is where I think it'll be. It's a par 70, 7,400, 50 yards, 3 par 5s, 5 par 3s. Tom Doak did the redesign, and Brooks was kind of a part of it. I don't know the full, you know, extent of what he had into it, but he certainly was before going to live. Big Bermuda greens, mini Verta, Bermuda. It's fast, quick. I don't want to say it's exactly like Bent, but it is a quick fast greens as opposed to, you know, I don't think there'll be much overseed. I'm interested to kind of see how it looks on TV just because of how warm it's been, not only here, but down there. I think you're going to see a lot more Bermuda than typical, with just how hot we've been in general. There is a chance for some showers Thursday morning. This is late Tuesday night. I'll put this out tomorrow at lunch. But nothing I'm taking into consideration wave-wise as of now. There's some wind, you know, picks up in the afternoon both days. I could lean AM guys for round one or first round leader, but nothing crazy at all as far as like a wave draw or anything like that. I don't think I'll be factoring that at all. Unless something changes crazy in the next 24 hours, it won't be much of a consideration for me. Now, for round one of first round leaders, if it stays how it is, I could see that morning guys having a little bit better advantage, but nothing crazy overall. Cut, probably plus two, plus three, somewhere in that range. And I think the winner, I think it's going to be minus 11, minus 12, somewhere around in there. Stats I'm looking at this week: good drives, stroke gain irons, bogey avoidance, good approach, par three DK scoring, stroke gains off the tee. 31 of these guys have not played it since 2020, which is a decent amount. There's 132 in the field this week, so still a little over 100 have still played it at least once. Salary ranges, zero in the 10K, and that is because of the Scotty withdrawal this morning, with looks like his second baby is, I assume, either was due today or she went into labor. I don't know all the details. I had a busy day at work, but I know it wasn't an injury or anything. I just know that it said because of the birth or second child on the way, which I guess is good news for the Masters. Sounds like, you know, that won't be a concern. But because of how priced up he was, there was no other 10K guys. And so we have 10 in the 9K, 11 in the 8K, 38 in the 7K, and 74 in the 6K. Makes it fairly balanced pricing when you remove him. Honestly, I don't know how much it changes overall, because with him being 14.8, I don't know how high he was going to be owned just because of how balanced everything else was. I think it could have been one of the lower weeks for him. Even if he was 10 to 15%, I guess I would have say, quote unquote, it could have paid for the rake, because at that price compared to everybody else, I don't even think not only would he had to win, I think he would have had to win, you know, 3-4 strokes type of deal to bring in, you know, or, you know, kind of luck box into picking the right guy, right of the 74 guys in the 6K range. How many of those get up there in the top 10, and do you have them? I think a lot more people would have been going towards a balanced hybrid balance bill, which is now a default because there is no Scotty. So I think probably the good part of that is a lot of this ownership, there'll be a lot more ownership had in the 8 and 9 Ks, but I think it'll be fairly spread apart between a lot of several guys. We'll get to that in a minute, but there'll be some chalk, but there's many different ways to build among these 21 guys in the 8 and 9 Ks, that you can still get different depending on which chalk you want to eat, which ones you want to pass on this week. Sweet 16 above for me, three I like, and a bubble boy for each salary range, fade of the week, sleeper of the week, some gut fill plays, betting top five to pop in two long shots, and my preliminary one and done, and we will get out of here. Kick it off in the 9K range. I like Brooks. I really think in general, and I'll get to it in the bubble boy, and maybe a boys this week, with Minwoo, Goddard, up Knapp. I think there'll be a lot of ownership between those three. And then it's kind of a drop, and it'll be spread out. And his iron play is just so solid right now, and I think he'll be much lower owned than those three I just mentioned. Hasn't played it since 2021, which I think was the first year here. But he's coming in with great form, 18th, 13th, a 9th. Like I said, iron play has been tremendous. Can the putter continue to improve a little? It looked a little better last week. His finish doesn't even look as strong as what it could have. He doubles 16 Saturday and Sunday, so 14 or four strokes over on that one hole back-to-back days. So I think there's enough there. I mean, at the price, obviously, yeah, you're wanting him to be in contention, you know, top five and flirting with the win. But at the lower ownership than those top three guys, I definitely like him this week and definitely don't mind having some shares of him as one of the top plays up in the 9K range. Nikolai Højgaard, I go back to him. I think he'll be owned a little bit more than Brooks, but still not as much as those top three that I mentioned. Continues to play well. Last week, I think started decently. Weekend just kind of fell down the leaderboard a little bit, but a 6th, a 24th, a 27th, last week a 55th. Weekend wasn't as strong. He did play here last year, missed the cut. Stats still looks solid. 10th on irons, 12th bogey avoidance, 12th in par 3 DK scoring. Pure talent type situation for me. 9,200, less owned. I bid on him. There's no reason for me to jump off. I'll take the little discount in price and ownership as well. And then Kitayama, somewhat similar. He missed the cut at the Players. I don't hold that against hardly anybody. 18th at the API. Back-to-back years, he's made the cut, a 36th and a 39th here. 9,300, I think he'll be the lowest of these guys I'm talking about right now. All these guys, you know, outside of the top three are going to be in that 12 to 16-17% range. So it really going to be more about construction and where you think you can get different and what chalk you want to completely be off of, especially down low in the 6-7K range, if you even want to get to the 6K range. Because you certainly don't have to this week. There's plenty of ways to build with the way the pricing is and having no Scotty. And he was built into the pricing in case you hadn't opened your app yet. But that's what I'm, you know, so he was 14-8 in there. Otherwise, you would have had several of these guys in the 10K range and it would have been more totally different pricing structure. So I like Kitayama. Has shown some upside here. Putter can, you know, cause some issues at times, but ball striking solid. Obviously strong off the tee. Number one in bogey avoidance. 16 in good drives, 20 in irons. Overall, with again, similar to the other two I just mentioned. Price discount, ownership discount. I don't mind taking those this week at all. And then the Bubble Boys is kind of, you know, probably tomorrow as I'm, you know, working windshield time, driving, you know, real job type stuff, listening to podcasts and such to kind of gather. It'll be interesting because I know a lot of my counterparts do put out a podcast early. And so I don't think a lot of them are going to probably put their podcast with Scotty in the field. Now, some will come back out and do a show or a live chat or something on Wednesdays, but it'll be interesting to kind of feel the vibe of Minwoo, Goddard, Knapp, because I do think they'll be the top three and all of them could be approaching close to 30% owned. I don't know which one. I would lean Minwoo maybe being the highest, but you could have one of those reverse effects where he kind of gets talked up and so people jump to a couple of the lower perceived ones and then he winds up being a little bit lower owned. But either, anyway, I think they're all in that 25 to 30% owned range. And, you know, do you mix and match them? How many people play all three? Could that be different? Maybe. Or you could just be massive chalk. You know, do you want to fade all three and just say, hey, there's not that much talent difference between them and the rest of the 9Ks and even some of the 8Ks? You can make an argument for many different directions. I'll kind of take all that into consideration before I do the core report and final thoughts tomorrow night. But right now, those are the Bubble Boys because I like all three. They're all ranked probably definitely my top 10 rankings currently in the field. It's just a matter of who do you want to play, how much ownership do you want to play, and how do you play them to be different. And that's why they're the Bubble Boys right now. So 9K range, Brooks, 9,600, Højgaard, 9,200, Kitayama, 9,300, and then Minwoo, Goddard, Knapp, all between 95 and 9,900 at close to double the ownership. Just call it that. And I just, in that sentence, I don't know that, yes, they're probably better plays on paper for a little bit more money. And even if it's 1.5 to 1.75x ownership, are they that much better plays than Brooks, Højgaard, Kitayama, who's going to be much lower owned? You know, they're going to be more in that 13 to 16% range instead of 27 to 30%. So that's kind of mix and matching those is going to be a key. And then, you know, how much do you love the 8Ks in general? And then fill it in from there. 8K range for me, I like Girard, 8,400. Get a little bit of ownership. I do think the 8Ks won't have quite as much nowhere near as the 9Ks, because I think a lot of people are going to start with two, if not three, 9K guys, because it's just so doable this week that the 8Ks could get squeezed a little bit. A ninth here last year for him, 27th at the Players, 23rd at Cognizant. He did miss the cut at API. Stats, he's, you know, 15th in irons, 14th in bogey avoidance, 21st in good drives. Struggles putting in general, but he did putt here last year well, if for whatever you want to take that into consideration. You know, chipping's not great, and that could be a key this week, especially if the wind picks up. Last year, with it being so soft, it wasn't as significant, which, again, that's why I'm not looking too much into the prior year's results, depending on the different time of the year plus the conditions. Overall, you know, I just think he's one of the top plays in this range. And at 8,400, I think that's a solid price. Harry Hall, 8,500. I think we get him sub 10%. He's played here three times in all different conditions, and he still made the cut all three times with 39th, 28th, and 18th. So that, to me, tells me, I know he relies on his putter a lot, but he played it last year with soft. He played it in the fall. You know, he's played it when it was windy and firm, and he still made the cut all 3 years and had pretty decent finishes. So I like that profile, and he's coming in with okay form. Missed a cut of Players, but ninth at API. The putter is going to be solid for him. We know that. Can the irons come around and give him a chance? And he's one of those pieces I like that is going to be a single-digit ownership to get a little bit unique in some of those chalkier builds. Harris Inglis, 8,900. Another guy that's played here pretty good, and played decent this year so far. 24th at API, 18th there last year, 39th in 2022, 11th in good drive, 17th off the tee, 29th in par 3 DK scoring, 16th in bogey avoidance, 4th in putting. Just solid profile overall, and I don't know that he's not much more than 9 to 11% on either, especially at 8,900, because I think, again, if a lot of people start with two or three of those 9K guys, their next move would be to drop much lower than the 8,900 guy. So close to the single digit owned guy. Don't mind that at all. And the bubble boy for me is Thor, 8,600. I think he will be the highest owned in this range, which is why I have him as the bubble boy, because depending on how I handle Minwoo, Goddard, Knapp, he could just be a fade for me, because I just don't want too much chalk in the player pool. Comes in pretty good condition, though, or pretty good form. 22nd at the Players, 33rd at API, 39th here last year, 8th in good drives, 8th in bogey avoidance, mid-30s in all the rest of the main stats I'm looking at, top 3rd in the field in putting. Pretty solid profile. I don't mind him at all. It's just the ownership game for me. I think he will be the highest owned in the 8K range. And if I'm going to eat some of that 9K ownership, I probably don't mind passing on him at the highest owned in the 8K range. But I have him as a bubble boy because on paper I like him, and maybe you're going to play the lower owned 9K guys, and so you're perfectly fine fading the chalk in the 9K. And if you're doing that, then Thor would be a good play for me. I'd put him in the pool if I'm willing to fade two or three of those super chalky guys in the 9K range. So 8K range, Gerard 8,400, Hall 8,500, English 8,900, Thor 8,600. 7K range, Stevens, 7,900. Good price, I think, overall for him. I think he'll be single-digit owned. Could approach 5 to 6% type range. Played here three times, made the cut all three times. 57th, 57th, 18th. So just okay results, but made the cut all three, so I do like that. 50th at Players, missed the cut at API. So form's just okay. Putting solid. First in good drives, we know he can drive the ball. 18th in bogey avoidance, 4th in good approach, 18th in par 3 scoring, 11th in off the tee. So most of the stats I'm looking at, he's really solid. So for the price, he's one of my top guys I like right now, all things given. If he's going to be single digit owned, I really like him as well. Smalley, 7,800. You know, kind of guy I always tend to play. It's, if he's in the field, there's very few times I don't try to go to him. He missed a cut here the last 2 years, but the 2 years prior that he played it, 21-22, a 15th and a 4th. So roller coaster results, but he has done well here. 52nd at Cognizant, 24th at Players, and 46th last week. So just decent results, nothing crazy. Stats are just above average and everything, but nothing that just sticks completely out, but you know, 23rd in irons, 29th in bogey avoidance, putter, he's about mid pack. So he, to me, the profile kind of fits the pricing. I think he's priced appropriately. I think he'll be 5 to 8% owned. So 7,800, he's a guy I'll put in the pool at that ownership and the price for sure. Davis Thompson, a guy that, you know, I take chances on at times. Played him a lot last year. He's done well for me at times, and he's blown up completely. He keeps flashing upside at times. He can't seem to put a whole tournament together. But 46 last week, I like that. He's played here three times, done well. Three made cuts, a 43rd, a 21st, and a 27th. So, you know, similar to some of these other guys that have played it in multiple different conditions and made the cut and shown some upside at 7,500. And another guy I think most of the 7Ks are going to be in that, you know, 5 to 8% range. Mixing and matching those, I think, could be, you know, a key this week that I don't mind him at all. I think he does have the upside. He definitely comes with more risk reward, but I'm okay with that this week. Yellow Majaro, you know, man, he's climbed the ladder quickly in the chalk world. There was a time where he was a dock of the week at 1% owned, I think, but will most likely be the highest owned in the 7K range. So very much like Thor, I like him a lot this week as well. I think a lot of people do. Fifth at the player, 17th at Cognizant. He's not going to be as high owned as like Thor, but being the highest owned in that 7K range, he's going to pair up a lot in those builds if you're eating the other chalk. I can see a ton of builds where you have two of Minwoo, Goddard, Knapp, then Thor, and then Yellow Majaro. So just be cognizant of that. And so if you're fading a lot of that 9K chalk, or maybe you're just going to play two of them, fade one, fade Thor, then maybe you have more of him. I just would just not have, you know, four of those five guys between the three top guys in the 9K and Thor and Yellow Majaro. I don't know that I'd want that many chalk pieces in my player pool this week. Now, if you play 150 lineups, maybe you set some builds where you play all of them, but you're building them in sets where they're not together as much. I mean, there's many different ways to build differently, but you know, if you're a three max person or a single bullet, which most people tend to be that, 20 max even, that's kind of what I pay attention to as I'm putting my pool together. On paper, I like them, but just be wary of how much ownership you're eating there. So 7K range, Stevens, 7,900, Smalley, 7,800, Thompson, 7,500, Yellow Majaro, 7,200 as the bubble boy. 6K range, not a lot of guys I'm going to go to, I don't think, this week, because I don't think it's as necessary. But I like Svensson. He's actually is one of my favorite plays of the week overall. 6,800, solid price. He continues to play well, and then his results don't look as good as his play is, in my opinion. He's missed a few cuts right on the number. He did play here last year, got a 27th. Stats, he looks pretty solid. 16th off the tee, 19th par 3 DK scoring, 3rd in approach, 39th in bogey avoidance, 13th in irons, 36th in good drive. So for the price, and another guy that I think will be sub 5%, if I need to dip down in the 6K range, he'd be one of the first guys I look at 6,800. David Ford, played him last week, made the cut, didn't do much with it on the weekend. Had a bad Sunday, if I remember right. 6,700, though, another guy that looks pretty solid in the stat world. 10th in drives, 15th in bogey avoidance, 27th in good approach, 9th in par 3 DK scoring, 8th off the tee, 7th in putting. So it's $6,700 bucks. Another guy I don't mind having in the player pool. Salinda, we've been, you know, when he's not really being talked about a lot, and, you know, I don't mind going to him at all. You know, 2 or 3%er this week, 11th here last year, 46th last week. His game, I think, fits his course pretty decently. 30th or 20th off the tee, 13th in good drive, 23rd in good approach, top third in putting in the field. 6,500, again, a player pool guy, more of a 20 max. I don't think he makes a 3 max pool, but the guys, if I need to dip down here, another one I don't mind having some shares of. Blanchett, the guy I think was one of the guys I didn't like last week as super chalk in the 6K range. And I think he will be again because he paid off for a lot of people. Played well. I like him. I do think, again, he will be the highest owned in the 6K range or right up there. But I don't think he'll be as high in the 6K range as what he was last week, just because I don't think as many people are going to go down to the 6K range with how soft the pricing is without Scheffler, and you can kind of build balance. But, you know, if he's still 6-7%, you know, keep that in mind as you're building. But he's not too crazy high owned. But the only reason for a bubble boy for me is ownership-wise. Outside of that, he's playing well, great form, and definitely don't mind going back to him. So 6K range, Fenson 6,800, Ford 6,700, Salinda 6,500, and Blanchett 6,800. Fade of the week for me, I'm still going to go Cootie. I faded him last week. It looked like he was going to have a really good week. Then the weekend came, not too great. So his last 3 weeks are 55th, a miscut. He's played here twice, made the cut, hasn't done anything with it, a 52nd, a 57th. You have the Texas narrative, you know, obviously played at UT down in that area. That's more Austin, but still has played in Texas quite a bit. And he's still getting ownership. I think he'll be, you know, up there with Thor and those guys in the ownership in the 8K range, mainly because he's 8K flat. And so he's a quick guy to drop to, easier to drop to him than a Thor or English who's 89, 8600. And I just don't see, all right, he's missing something right now where the whole game isn't there. Could he put it together and have a great week? Absolutely. And I could pick one or two of these super chalk up in the top. I just don't know which one I'm on right now when I put it all together. So I don't want to mislead. And he's a guy that I just don't see the results there overall. And being one of, if not the highest owned in the AK range, I don't mind cutting him out of the pool to save some ownership. Sleeper of the week, Mackenzie Hughes, not a guy I play very often. Doesn't feel like he would suit this place very well. Has played at 5 out of the last 6 years. A 7th, a 29th, a 16th, a 14th, and a 10th. And there's no way I would have told you I would have expected that from him. 7,100. I have him at like 2% right now. So certainly fits that less than 5% sleeper of the week category. Stats just look decent. You know, average to above average. We know he can get hot with the putter. This is mainly, you know, when he's played it 5 out of the last 6 years in many different conditions and variations, and his worst finish is 29th, I just tend to think there's something about that that this suits his eye in one way or the other. And 2020 may have been the old course, but even 4 out of the last 5 years, this course still is a 29th, a 16th, a 14th, and a 10th. So kind of surprised me. Not a guy I play a lot, but definitely a guy that you can put in your pool that's going to be 2 or 3% owned max. Some gut feel plays for me. Keith Mitchell, 8,200. 3 out of the 5 years here, he's made the cut. Made 3 straight cuts on tour. 6th, the 33rd, and 46th. Upside, but definitely his floor is lower than some. You know, sometimes he tends to not show up. But I think his upside is to be top 10, you know, so 8,200, probably be a lower owned guy there. Don't mind him. Adam Scott continues to show form, 9K though, but probably one of the lower owned in the 9K range. I don't mind him. Fowler, 9,400. I feel like that could be a sticker shock to some. Typically, he's a public favorite, so he tends to get more ownership than what most people project. But with who he's around, I'm not sure that he gets out of control at 9,400. So maybe we take a look at that. Burns, 9,700, has played here pretty decently. Hal Tong, 7,900. Lowry, 8,700. Although I like Lowry a little bit better next week, assuming he's going to play. I don't know if he's going to play back-to-back weeks leading up to the Masters. But I don't mind him. I think he'll be a lower-owned guy, especially at that 8,700 price tag. Clark continues to kind of play well tee to green. Haven't put it all together. Did miss the cut. I think he missed the cut on the number last week. Has played here 4 out of the 5 years. A 5th, a 31st, a 16th, and a 41st. So some good results. 8,300. Don't mind him. Jason Day, 8K flat. Also has some good results here. 7th, 54th, 16th, 27th. Ben Griffin. I don't feel like we've seen him much. And after the year last year, it's hard to back that up. 3 straight missed cuts for him. But he's played this course pretty decently. I assume he's going to be not super low owned, but single digit at 8,800, coming off 3 missed cuts. But he's got a 16th and 18th and a 36th here. Could be a good leverage play. that you could get to. And then Lee Hodges, 7K flats, another guy that caught my eye for some gut feel plays. Top five of the pop and two long shots for me. Mitchell, 50-1. Gerard, 35-1. English, 40-1. Nikolai, 35-1. And Brooks, 25-1. Obviously, shop around. Those are kind of a blend average. I'll have my final betting card out tomorrow night. Two long shots I like. Svensson, 90-1. And Salinda, 200-1. My preliminary one and done. Not a huge prize pool. You kind of got some guys that you could be thinking about for some signature events or majors. So I think plenty of options to kind of take your chances on this week. You don't have to go to the top of the board. You can kind of be middle if you'd like. But I like Goddard up. I think a decent amount have used him. So I would check your pool. And if a lot of people have used him, maybe you get him a little less owned. Brooks, Højgaard, Kitayama, I think will be a guy that's not been used much. And then Harry Hall would be like my kind of, I don't think many have used him. I don't think he'd be on much radar, but I think his upside is, you know, he's played well here and has pretty decent form coming in. I don't know if you need to reach that low, but if it's, you're in a position where you think you can take a chance and it was really, you know, zoom you up the board if you did win, I don't mind him. And with Goddard up, you could do the same thing with Minwoo. Maybe you check both those. And if one of them had been used a ton at a prior event, maybe you go use them this week because there's not that many people that have the option to even use them. And if not, if it looks like those two with Knapp are going to be high owned and one and done, I would go a little bit different this week in the one and done, similar to what we may do in DraftKings as well. Again, you can use Masters, 30% off. Come join us now. Tons of talk in the Slack leading up to the Masters. Looking forward to that. Still got, you know, a great tournament this week plus next week. Showdown every night for me. It's been pretty solid all year. We've seen tons of green screens in the Slack from winners. I think the tournament's going to play tough. I liked last week's tournament. I think it'll be similar. I don't see much weather issues. We always like that. We don't want a bunch of delays and craziness. The Scotty withdrawal, I'm glad it happened early. We didn't have anything crazy like, you know, Morikawa getting hurt or anything like that. So I think it'll be a fun event. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Reach out to me if you have any questions on the site or any questions about joining, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Y'all have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.